Espejos de Aztlán.
A talk show about our communities.
Cultura, educación, política.
Salud, inmigración, historia.
When?
Mondays at 7 p.m.
Right after All Things Considered.
Espejos on KUNM 89.9.
Un programa
comprometido con nuestra comunidad.
Bienvenidos a su programación de Espejos de Aztlán. Buenas noches, yo soy George Luna Peña, su locutor esta noche. Soy miembro de la colectiva Raíces aquí en KUNM y hoy es el 24 de junio del 2013. Y pues gracias por compartir este tiempo con nosotros aquí en Espejos de Aztlán. Les tenemos una buena media hora esta noche. Aquí en el estudio tenemos unas jóvenes que van a hablar con nosotros sobre un programa de escritura para jóvenes que ocurre cada verano aquí en Albuquerque. El programa se llama Voces y tienen su última actuación este viernes y vamos a hablar un poco sobre eso también. Entonces, quédense con nosotros. Welcome to Espejos de Aztlán, everybody. My name is George Luna Peña. As always, it's a pleasure to be with you. I'm a member of the Raíces Collective here at KUNM. And today is the 24th of June, 2013. We have an awesome show for you all tonight, live in studio. We're packed into the studio tonight, sharing some microphones. We have some amazing youth poets, writers, and performers. They also brought along one of their mentors, and we're going to be talking about an incredible program called Voces, which takes place every summer at the National Hispanic Cultural Center. And so without further ado, let's go ahead and maybe introduce ourselves, if you guys wouldn't mind. Maybe just go down the line and say a little bit about yourself and stuff like that.
Hi, I'm Tasha Shell. I am a returning Voces student. I was in Voces 2008 through 2010, and this year I came back to play again.
Awesome.
I'm Claire. I'm 17 years old, and I'm a first-year Voces student, and I joined the program this year just because I heard a lot of good things about it, and I wanted to improve my writing.
I'm Amy Waltner. I'm also a first-year Voces student. I'm 18 and heard about this from our coach and decided to join it.
And my name is Carlos Contreras. I'm a 12-year Voces participant, if you can believe that. Currently the lead mentor. Former student in its first year, and just happy that it's continuing to do what it does for our community and connecting youth writers with professional seasoned writers, poets, and artists.
Cool. And so that serves as a good little sort of introduction to what the program is, but let's talk a little bit more about what it is. What exactly is the Voces program that takes place every summer?
I'll talk about it a little bit, and then maybe Tasha can chime in, and then we'll hear from our younger ones, our new ones. But Voces to me is really kind of a performative arts camp that all circles around the idea of spoken word. Really focuses on creative expression. So we do visual art, journalism. This year we started playing with social media. We all work on performance. We have some musicians involved this year in our group. So really what Voces is a safe place for young artists to find themselves and find a voice. And I'm a product of that being the success, and so, and being a big believer in it, it's a reason why I continue to return.
Voces, for me, is the bomb and the explosion. It's a wonderful program that I've been participating in since I was about 15, and it, like Carlos says, does offer a really safe place for kids who are interested in writing to explore the different avenues that has to offer. And it's really cool because every week there are different mentors, poets, writers who come in and talk to all of us kids and show us the different things that writing has to offer.
For me, it is just a really welcoming community, and it's just a place where a bunch of kids who are basically my age can just sit around and write and have a really good time with a bunch of people who know poetry and spoken word and writing and just general, and it's really, really fun and awesome.
Yeah, we do a lot of, like, and we have a lot of group work, too, and it's fun to, I guess, bounce around what you're doing with your peers so you can get different perspectives, because everybody has their own idea on how something is supposed to be. So it's really cool getting to see all the different perspectives and all the fun little activities we do with all the different guest speakers we have. It's a lot of fun.
Cool. And so, I was under the impression that VOSES was a writing program, but you guys, you mentioned the visual arts, you mentioned social media and stuff like that. It's really encompassing lots of different sort of performative aspects of being a writer. It's not just writing, but it sort of goes a little bit beyond that. That's really, really cool. But I'm going to shoot this question over to Amy and Claire. You guys talked about it a little bit more, or a little bit already, but I'm wondering if you could talk about a little bit more why you decided to join the program since this is your first year.
Well, we learned about it from our poetry coach and Katrina Garaccio. So she was telling us about it, and it seemed like a lot of fun. And it's a great place to learn different performing techniques, different ways to improve your writing. And it also, like, because we have a lot of poetry prompts, so it makes you, or just writing prompts in general, it makes you think of things in a different way. So you change up your style of writing, which expands your ability to write.
I also heard about it from our coach, Katrina, and she told us that Carlos was in it, and he's a big member of, like, the slam poetry community, and so we're like, hey, we know Carlos, and it,
awesome sauce.
And it was really fun because we already knew who he was and, like, what it would kind of be about, but for anyone who doesn't know what it's about, it's just super awesome and welcoming, and you get a lot of writing done, which is helpful.
Cool. So, and maybe this question is for anybody that wants to tackle it, but why is writing important to you, or what role has writing played in your life? Not just over the summer with VOSES, but just overall in your life.
Writing in general in my life is important to me because it's something that I've always done, even since I was little, and growing up always enjoying that. VOSES has just allowed me to grow and flourish in the field of writing and has offered me so many different opportunities through the people I've met, through the experiences I've had there, and through the things I've done. I'm still continuing to pursue that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to piggyback what Tesha just said is writing continues to be important to me, primarily because of this program. And that might sound weird, but I mentioned I've been doing it for 12 years. This program, the VOSES program, was my exposure really early on to spoken word and what it can do for you and the people that were doing it in our community 12 years ago. And I realized what kind of sustainability could come to someone in their life by way of the written and spoken word. But more beyond that, just kind of what you could do for other people. And so it continues to be important to me because there are people like Amy and Claire and Abby and SB who are at home, who are first-year students, who you see take something and run with it within 3 weeks, and you realize how big that impact can be beyond those 3 weeks.
That's really cool. And did you guys want to add anything?
For me, like, writing's always been there, like, with Tesha, and actually my mom wrote, like, a whole book when I was little, and so, like, writing's always kind of been there, and it's always kind of been something fun that you can go off in your own little world and deal with things the way that you want to deal with them, and it's just kind of helpful to get through a lot of things as well.
Cool. Yeah, I agree with Claire on that.
And so you said VOSES has been around since, for 12 years, so since like 2001. I'm curious what makes VOSES 2013, sort of this iteration of VOSES, different, maybe from 12 years ago?
Every year is different, so, you know, 2013 is different from 2012, but in the revamp, this is sort of a rebuilding period for us, so we're like the Bulls with Derrick Rose now, and I'm saying we because Hakeem Bellamy, who's Albuquerque's Poet Laureate, Colin Dials Hazelbaker, who owns Central Root Performing and Recording Studio, are both members of a group of mine called Urban Verbs, and in 2013 we've taken it on as a cohort, as a three-headed monster of sorts, and so they bring different skill sets to the table that I don't have, and vice versa. And so things like social media have become a big thing. You can catch us on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram. So our ability to promote and expose this program globally is kind of one of the biggest things in 2013 that we're noticing. And I think it appeals to the generation that we're working with. They all have smartphones in their hands. So rather than let them use them as dumb phones, we use them as a way to PR and promote ourselves as artists.
Cool. And I've been following you guys on Twitter and checking out your WordPress and stuff, and you guys have been using it really, really well. I actually saw you guys did like a Twitter story a couple of days ago or something like that. What was that about?
Well, basically we were just kind of, somebody would say something and then you had to finish the rest of the story. So it was like a collaborative story when you didn't know really when you were going to come up or what the rest of it was about. You just kind of had, we had to like work as a team basically to build a story, and it turned out pretty goofy, but it was really fun.
And you were limited to that 140 characters that you are on Twitter?
Yeah, even less, because we had to add the hashtag and tag someone in it. So yeah.
That's cool. That was a really, really awesome idea.
One of our two boys, Simon, came up with the idea like at the very beginning, and he was like, we should do this. So then like 2 weeks in, we were like, oh yeah, hey, we should finish that. And so we actually did it, and it was really fun.
Cool. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about it in a few minutes, but I want you guys to mention that the final show that you have coming up, just tell us like when it is and where and stuff like that.
I'll take that, because we've joked. There's some question about when the show starts. In the alibi, it says 6:30. We're going to open the doors at 6:30 at the National Hispanic Cultural Center. We'll be there at the National Hispanic Cultural Center in the Bank of America Theater. So at 6:30, you can watch slideshows, music, and otherwise from the month. And then promptly at 7 o'clock, we'll start some performances. So between 6:30 and 7, I know everybody's on Albuquerque time. So if you get there before 7, you'll certainly see poetry happen on stage.
Cool. And that's just so folks are aware, that's a free show?
Yeah, absolutely. Completely free. And bring anyone you want. We have 350 seats to fill. So we've gotten really, really close in years past, but we'd like to, like, not be able to let folks in. That would be a great day.
Cool. And so why don't we maybe give folks a little flavor of what maybe they can expect on Friday. You guys, I know, brought some work, some pieces to share with folks. So if you guys want to go ahead and share those now, that'd be great.
I guess I'll go first. I'm Amy, and this, I guess it's titled Forgiveness. I never wanted to give my kneecaps to an unanswering God, so I'm left bending over backwards, trying to find a new perspective on how to forgive you from the mouths of saviors and martyrs. Split lips, broken teeth, hold forgiveness in pristine palm, yet never giving it away, no charity. I'll pull forgiveness from their ribcage, crack bones to marrow, contort their bodies in any direction to his vertebrae closer to closure. For any royal casualty in fist-imprinted doorway, I want to forgive you. To crush mandibles into prayers, to beg on broken knees, I won't hold treasure to your scripture while waiting for white blood cells to cure everything God could not. I find my own kneecap shattered on crucifixes, bone grating against splintering, wood rock in open wound, play priest in this unholy encounter. When atonements become rubble behind jawline, bite apology from cheek. Allow tongue to preach behind unmoving lip, excommunication from breathing. Asphyxiate me into believing into severed nerve endings. Each an angel kiss on upraised skin from a heaven I no longer believe in. There are cathedrals in your vein. Each reminiscing of a confession blocked reply, I never wanted to give my kneecaps to you. So I'll hum a different hymn to forgive you. Hum a different hymn to let our wounds heal. Place broken promises like rosary beads against shattered glass. Count the beads like blood drops. One for every time I wanted to forgive you, and one for every time I didn't. I need to pull the cane from my skin, splintering regret out of my bloodstream, clean dirt from salted sores. I need to forgive you. To hold broken promises like love songs, like summer days in rainy weather, rather than city riots, I need the sunset to this battle, to scrape the red from my knees and turn it into something beautiful, to touch the blue from my veins onto the horizon. Breaking the skyline with one last breath of exasperation, one last muttered prayer, to bring about the full portrait of our encounter, a stained glass reflection of a red-blue sunset with splintered horizon. And so I'll pass it on to...
I'll go next. I'm Claire. This doesn't have a title. I've never been much of a love poet. I've never been one for odes and fantasizing and memorizing the beauty of facial features or the subliminality of expressions. hadn't thought about why the caged bird sings if there's no one around to appreciate his musical genius. But despite my lack of know-how on the subject of love stories, I still want to make this one exception for you. I want to express my gratitude for showing me the less than garden variety aspects of eye contact. The no longer humdrum, bumbling days of sunset staring and dawn watching, now staring at cloud breaks and pretending they're invisible doorways to somewhere beyond the horizon. To a place where love stories are nonfiction. And fiction is indecision and heart-shaped romances where two people can't just love each other. You and I would spend hours deciding the reality of mathematics and romance. We'll derive the definition of soulmate, contemplate the meaning of meant to be, we'll forget the meaning of an educated guess, like if the answer to the ultimate question is 42, and the estimated airspeed velocity of an unladen European swallow is 11 meters per second, then how loud is the sound of a phaser set to stun on a planet with a helium-rich atmosphere in the gamma quadrant of the Milky Way? Question the skeleton of the universe. We'll theorize the backbone of a love story. Call in a chiropractor for the scoliosis in our vertebrae from bending over backwards to try to find a not-so-Romeo and Juliet love story. Without the tragic ending and severe obsession, I want to grow old with you. I want to feel thunderstorms in our kneecaps, slowly hunch over as we succumb to gravity and lose our lifelong vertical battle of standing up straight. And although we'll slowly fade with the hands of time and the waves of constantly moving forward, the universe will always be our chessboard. And although I've never been proficient in games with so many pieces, Connect Four is just too tic-tac-toe for this kind of checkers upgrade. You and I will leave grubby childhood fingerprints on every question we've ever asked without answer, to those older and wiser and who know more about true love than you or I ever will kind of elders. So here's to the extended director's cut Lord of the Rings movies, to Nerf guns and Star Trek and Rock, Paper, Scissors, Lizard, Spock, Foursquare, and Hopscotch. I want to sidestep on clouds with you. Hoping we don't fall through the uncertainty of solidity, I want to forget about short lives with only 100-some years and pretend like we're Vulcan. Just for a moment, live long and prosper, just a bit of time where I can pretend that I have twice as long as I do to find you. To the perfect, bigger nerd than I am, guy with a sense of humor, who will tell me, "May the Force be with you," every night before I close my eyes. The only problem is, I just haven't met you yet. And that's it.
Nice.
Sorry, I was taking a picture for our Voices page.
It's nice to meet you. I'm plain? Milk plain. The older I get, the more colorful I wish I was. I'm hitting stoplights, wondering where my life is going. I'm not the writer I used to be. I'm not the dancer I used to step. I'm something. Surely. Sometimes I feel like I need a helmet and knee pads to kick my own expletive. I'm so hard on me. Sometimes I hurt myself to see if I can be something purple and healing, like the sunrise. I miss my abusers. I have less to write about. I want hieroglyphs beaten into my chest again as bookshelf bruises or as handprints or as my fists as I grow into a warrior. Maybe one day I'll become a good prayer. But today, I think I'd like to be a collector, gathering bits of broken glass and moments shared between good friends late at night, between a family and a table, between food and fiesta, hurt feelings and held hands, between kindness and the deep, vast expanse of nothing we float in. I'm plain because I've got lots of space to color. I'm new. Today's the oldest I've ever been. I'm constantly learning. I've recycled the past to feed my present. I'm finding sometimes strength is silent, slow. It takes me months to let go, like a grandmother has to let go, but it's over and over again. I'm reincarnating and it burns. It burns in the way that I'm going to be a new person tomorrow. Start all over. I'm Tesha Shell. I'm always new. It's nice to meet you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Yeah. So it's just a little flavor of what folks can expect on Friday at your final show. And then on Friday, the final show, is it entirely spoken word, or are there other elements to it as well?
So Friday, you're going to get kind of a mix of a bunch of things. Like Tesha just outed us, we're constantly taking pictures. So you'll see some pictures throughout the month, which will hopefully give folks a window into the gradual progression of things and the things that went down when moms and dads were at work and things like that. But you'll get spoken word. You'll get poems like you just heard. But beyond that, we're teaching these folks that as competitors, as spoken word artists, as what they call slam poets, you get a lot of opportunities that grow out of that world. And sometimes those opportunities come via being backed by a band. So we actually have two 13-year-old guitarists in our group who are brave enough to man the strings, or woman the strings, I should say. And they're going to back some poets. Claire plays trumpet, so there'll be a trumpet in the house.
Cool.
We'll hear some hip-hop. Dials makes beats, and he's one of our three main facilitators. He's working with Sandy and Sebastian on possibly a song for final stage.
Okay.
So yeah, a mixed bag, a really, really mixed bag. Nothing you would ever see really on any other stage throughout the year as far as spoken word's concerned.
That is awesome. That sounds really, really dope. But so let me ask you guys a question then, especially for you guys that are participating in the program itself. What has been, this might be a bit of an unfair question, but what has been the most memorable moment so far in the last 3 weeks being part of OSIS 2013? If you had to pick one, what's going to stick in your brain for the next months, maybe even? I told you it was going to be hard.
I feel like mine's not going to be very, like, heartfelt. It's probably when Simon was practicing his sloth coup, which you guys can see on the final stage. And he's such a character on stage, and it just makes me happy to watch him because he's so funny. So that's probably my favorite moment.
I don't know if I could pick a favorite moment. I like all of it.
Do it anyway.
What if I don't want to?
Too bad.
My favorite part was the whole thing.
The end.
What about a favorite presenter from someone?
Bianca. She was really fun.
So
she was from Denver, right?
Yeah, Bianca McCann, who's from Denver, who they all just mentioned being a favorite, is a poet. She's an MC, so she's a female rapper. She actually belongs to a collective that does Wu-Tang songs. So it's an all-female collective that does Wu-Tang. But Bianca came and talked about writing and about how writing kind of allows one to be okay with oneself. She does a lot of mental health work. She runs a program called Check Your Head in Denver, Colorado. So she really came at it from that standpoint and with that kind of energy. So she spent 3 days with our writers working on different things, rhythm, body, movement, performance, so on and so forth. So yeah, she was definitely one of my favorites too, so I would echo that.
Cool. And you guys have different presenters that come in. That's sort of how the program works, sort of logistically. Folks come in and sort of share their craft with you guys, and you guys
exactly
work together and stuff like that.
Yeah, we had a variety of different people that came in. Like, we had Bianca, who was, like, in the slam scene, and then we had two comedians come in to help us with, like, being funny and, like, presenting yourself in a way that everyone kind of connects to. And then we had a person from the Mexico Mercury, it's a website, come in and talk to us about, like, putting stuff on the website, and that was fun. And so we just had, like, a variety of a bunch of people. Like, Tesha came in, and she talked to us about some performance and things like that too. So it's fun to see, like, returning VOSA students as well, like, teaching us things. We're like, oh, that's cool.
Cool. And then Tesha, did you want to share something earlier in terms of your most memorable moment? I felt like you wanted to say something there, but
No, I was just gonna say probably my most memorable moment is kind of just showing up randomly at VOSA's this year. Was being so well accepted by all the kids. It really just highlights what a wonderful, loving space VOSIS is, and the opportunity that gives such different people to meet each other and work in the same space and collaborate and have a really awesome June.
Cool. And then just so folks know, like, this is a Monday through Friday sort of 9 to 5 kind of program,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's like a day job. You know, it's a Monday through Friday, 9 to 4, day job that's a little bit more fun, I guess. But I made the point earlier in the conversation that it gives young writers a window into what it takes to be a sustainable professional writer, performer, artist, or what have you. So, and some of us aren't there yet, myself included, but we're working in that direction. And so as much as we can give an example, we try to. Sneak in some quick thanks real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
We probably need to thank Dr. Shell Sanchez. She's the head of the education department. Yeah. She makes this program possible. McCune Charitable Foundation actually 100% made this possible this year. And then otherwise all our guest presenters, which are too many to name, but thanks to Colin Hazelbaker and Hakeem Bellamy for holding it down. We're a team. So all of those people, I would be amiss to leave here and not mention those names.
Cool. Well, we are sort of running a little low on time, but I did want to, before we get out of here, give you guys an opportunity to again mention the final show on Friday, time, where, what to expect.
You got it. I'm going to tell you 6:30, because I always say if you're not early, you're late. 6:30, if you're there by 7, you'll catch the show. 6:30, National Hispanic Cultural Center, 4th and Bridge, Bank of America Theater. It is free. It is family friendly. Bring everyone you want.
Very cool. Is there anything that anybody else would like to add before we get out?
You should come.
Yeah, join VOSES next year. If you're 13 to 19, yeah, join.
Show up.
It's so worth it.
It's so worth it, and you get like a second family, so
yeah, everyone's just really close, and like the second you get there, everyone's just like, oh, hey, you're awesome, and there's just like immediate connection with everybody,
yeah,
and it's awesome for anyone who's a youth, anything, like if you're like a painter, and you're like 13 to 19, show up.
Absolutely, come out. You don't need to be a poet.
Yeah, we have people that write short stories, so. And we have all the musicians, so.
And so where would, if I'm 13 through 19, where would I find out? Where would I get more information?
Basically? I would say contact the National Hispanic Cultural Center's Education Department. That's probably the easiest way to go about it.
Cool. And actually, before we get out of here, does anybody want to take us out on one final piece? Is anybody willing? Anybody up for it?
I think Carlos should.
Yeah, I think Carlos should, too.
I knew they were going to do that. I'll just share a snippet, because we probably only have time for that. So here we go. I strive for perfection. It was born into me, branded, expected to be a better version of self with the setting of each sun. Each sun, a different rendition of the same song. My melody, discordant though it may be, sings, because I'd do anything to be able to. But instead, I write, and these instances are never the final draft. Edit in progress. I am a practitioner of process. Poetry bent to the frame of this ink scrawled must have something, sometimes finding nothings at the ends of me. New beginnings offered to each day with the rising of the sun. And I don't mind the sweat, grind, hustle, humble, respectful, respectable. I respect boundaries even when ignoring or breaking them. Aware that they are there, I often push beyond the comfortable to find the memorable. Remember me for being the weird kid, loud one, squeaky wheel, loose screw, dollar short, but never a minute too late. In fact, sometimes too soon for what's about to come. Coming out of my shell, I figured out these wings need no cocoon. Monarch mounting metaphor, I'm still fly, and I write like that's all there is to life, because sometimes it is. But I'm finding space to be comfortable with that I cannot control, which can commonly be deduced to my own thoughts, emotions, and fingertips, mouth, feet, and lips. I'm a mess. Mess, mayhem, with ink and a story to tell. Remember me for being confusing, confident, coincidentally always there when you need me, but confused as to what I should be doing. Things are getting done by means and matters of importance. I will remember myself not as important, but better yet insignificantly different than all of you. Because we make better music when making moments with our conversations. You see, life is a foreign language, and our interactions are simply the translations. I am forked tongue, never forgotten, I hum, sick of the sound of my own voice. If only I could sing, I'd Billie Holiday my way away from here. Coltrane, catch the next one out of town, onto something not so blue, less gray, all needle, no fix. I'd scratch whatever's beneath the surface and remix, mix my mouth back into something that made sense. If only I could sing.
All right.
That's our awesome coach.
He's awesome.
Thank you, George, by the way.
Thank you guys for being here tonight. Really, really appreciate you spending some time with us, sharing your work. And just so folks remember, 6:30 p.m. this Friday at the National Hispanic Cultural Center, the final show. It's going to be amazing. And then just a quick plug also for Generation Justice, which is a group that I work with. They'll actually be there on Friday documenting recording the final show, and I think they're going to be playing it on the radio pretty soon. So
cool. Awesome. Right on. Thank you to them too in advance.
Absolutely. Cool. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and also thank you to Adam for engineering for us tonight. Mm-hmm. We shared some mics. We had a lot going on, so thanks a lot, Adam. Appreciate it. This has been your programación of Espejos de Aztlán. Thank you.